Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Back in our Father's Word, we had completed in the last lecture down to the 18th verse in Ezekiel chapter 11. Ezekiel meaning in the Hebrew tongue, God strengthens us. And that's where your strength does come from. Strength that stays with you. Strength that will allow you to accomplish things for our Father when you're in the right frame of mind. He had just spoken how that many of the people were going to go astray. Why? Because they wouldn't listen to God's word. They wouldn't listen to his commands. And especially they wouldn't do them. Listening and doing is two different things. But he said, when all this is going down, I'm going to prepare a little sanctuary. That's for God's elect. That when they realize that God has a purpose and a destiny for them, and they enter into that spiritual little sanctuary of their mind, even in spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to mesh, then God protects them and gives them that strength. And he says, you will have that protection. And he said, I'll gather you out of there. And then, and let's pick it up, if we may, with that word of wisdom from our Father concerning that little sanctuary. Verse 18, chapter 11, the great book of Ezekiel, and it reads, and they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. In other words, God's elect will have no part of that that is unclean, knowingly. They will do their very best to be pleasing to the living God, to study his word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, to partake of the food that God sends, which is his word, the word of truth. Verse 19, and I will give them one heart, one mind, in other words, and I will put a new spirit within you. That's the Holy Spirit. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them an heart of flesh, which means a tender heart, a heart of tenderness, compassion, a better translation. God's elect is one mark you can always tell when you meet a true God's elect. They will have compassion on their fellow man, up, down, and in between. They love God's children, but yet at the same time, with spiritual discernment, they separate themselves. And they stay near that little sanctuary that God provides. You know, you can read of that sanctuary even in the New Testament in Romans chapter 11, where God said, I have the remnant that will always have the truth, and the rest I send the spirit of slumber upon. The word is stupor in the Greek. And they're in a stupor. When they have not the eyes to see or ears to hear, they're in a stupor. You cannot reach them. God placed it there. You can't remove it. Verse 20. That they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them. That's so important. Underline that in your mind. Do them. It doesn't do any good to know them if you don't do them. You do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Great book of Hosea, where it would say, Lo, Ami, has changed to Ami. Not my people, to my people, God says. How beautiful it is when your Father has his hand upon you, when you're in that little sanctuary. It's your choice. All you have to do is know the truth. Study his word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and understand what's transpiring here. The king of Babylon is just over the hill. I mean, it's Judah and Jerusalem are about to be conquered. The type is this, that the king of Babylon in the end times is just over the hill. And instead of being Nebuchadnezzar as it was at this writing, it's Satan himself. And is he anxious to deceive and touch all that are outside that little sanctuary? The sanctuary of knowledge, of truth, of doing God's statutes, of doing God's ordinances, of doing God's law, and knowing the difference thereof. You see, there's a lot of difference in law, statutes, and ordinances. Many of the blood ordinances were fulfilled when Christ was crucified and shed his blood on the cross. After that, blood sacrifice is sacrilegious. But you got to do the will of God. Verse 21. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, perversions, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. I'm going to give them everything they've got coming to them all at one time. This is why you want to be very careful when you fall outside God's way. And that way is Christ, the teachings of Christ. You're hurting, you're going to be in a heap more hurt when that day comes. Father loves his children, but how he loves those that serve him, and how he does not mind thumping the gourds of those that need it. Why? Because he loves them also. And they will either straighten up, or ultimately at the end of the millennium, which we'll cover from chapter 40 in this great book to the end, they'll be done away with if they don't straighten out. They will have every opportunity. God is fair, just, and equitable. But you must make the decision. Verse 22. Then did the cherubims lift up their wings, and the wheels beside them, their landing gear, came up, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. It's our Father's leaving, okay? Leaving de jure, but his spirit will still be here. He has literally appeared in person, with his very throne and altar itself, here on earth to deliver this message to Ezekiel, whereby you would never have to doubt there is a God, and he loves us, and he cares. That's why that those in this little sanctuary are so protected today. Those outside of it wander in a maze of detestable things and perversions, especially in this generation. Verse 23. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city. He was leaving. He picked up. And stood upon the mountain which was on the east side of the city. Well, what mountain is on the east side of the city? The Mount of Olives. The same mount that Christ would give many of his messages from on the Sermon of the Mount. The very Mount of Olives in which Christ himself would ascend back to the Father. The same Mount of Olives as it is written in Zechariah chapter 14 in the New Testament, that Christ's feet will touch down and split away to that east gate, a way for the true people, and will cleanse that place. 24, afterwards, the Spirit took me up and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God unto Chaldea, to them of the captivity. So the vision that I had seen went up from me. In other words, he picked me up from Jerusalem and put me right in Babylon. That's what Chaldea is Babylon, Iraq of today. And the old city Babylon, about 57 miles south of Baghdad today. Verse 25. And I spake unto them of the captivity all the things that the Lord had showed me. I didn't hold anything back. You know, this is something a teacher and a one sin of God will never do. Because once God gives you a truth, you must share it, or you'll never receive anything else. God does not give scripture, knowledge, or wisdom for one's own personal use necessarily. But it is to share, and those that he gives much, he demands much. He expects much. Therefore, you can continue giving and giving and giving, but you cannot outgive God as far as truth and knowledge is concerned, because all wisdom comes from him. Chapter 12, verse 1, and here we have signs of the captivity. God's going to use Ezekiel himself as a sign. Verse 1, the word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, verse 2, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not. They won't listen. You can't show them anything. For they are a rebellious house. They are lacking the truth of God.
Well, we have lots of pastors. Yeah, they say you don't even have to understand the book of Revelation because you're going to be gone.
That's a lie. That's a false prophet. You know why? Because the word revelation means to uncover or to reveal. God of all books wanted you to see and understand it. That's why he named it the unveiling. And you would let some yo-yo ratchet jaw, just because he may have a divine so-called name, but not divine with God, if he lies, tell you such a thing? Don't you ever let a man come between you and the word of God, for within that word lies the truth. They're rebellious, and they will approve things right from the pulpits, certain ones, that is detestable to the living God. Well, how do you know? Because of the word. They never get around to teaching the word of God. And even when they do, they don't have eyes to see or ears to hear. Verse 3, therefore, thou son of man, prepare the stuff for removing. I want you to pack you a bag, you pack you a suitcase, and you better put enough in it for a long trip, okay? And remove by day in their sight. You pack your bag and you haul out right where they can see you. Don't wait a night. Do it in broad daylight. And thou shalt remove from thy place to another place in their sight. It may be they will consider, though they be a rebellious house. In other words, they're going into captivity. Nebuchadnezzar, as I told you, is just over the hill. He's going to take them captive. They're going. The house of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, have been taken captive by the Assyrian 200 years before this. But Nebuchadnezzar will take the house of Judah captive, and he's right around the corner. And Ezekiel is simply the sign of the departing, what's going to happen to these people. Verse 4, then shalt thou bring forth thy stuff by day in their sight as stuff for removing. And thou shalt go forth at even in their sight as they that go forth into captivity. You are a sign that this whole house is going into captivity. I'm going to let it happen. And God did. Verse 5. Dig thou through the wall in their sight and carry out thereby. Now, you know what this is? This is a prophecy. And guess what? Who does this? Zedekiah does. King of Judah. I mean, he's going to do this same thing. He's going to dig a hole in the wall and try to escape from Nebuchadnezzar. It's not going to work. Listen to the prophecy. It comes to pass exactly as it's written. That's why you want to grow skilled in God's word, because it always comes to pass as it's written. Verse 6, in their sight shalt thou bear it upon thy shoulders and carry it forth in the twilight. Thou shalt cover thy face that thou see not the ground. For I have set thee for a sign into the house of Israel. Do you know why they cover their face so they can't see the ground? Because Nebuchadnezzar is going to gouge the very eyes right out of his sons. And he's going to blind them when he catches them, taking them captive. And if I remember right, he kills the sons, but he does take Zedekiah on to Babylon, and there he kills him. But this is God's prophecy. It always comes to pass as it's written. Verse 7. And I did so as I was commanded. I brought forth my stuff by day as stuff for captivity. I packed my bag and I was hiking out. And in the evening I digged through the wall with mine hand, and I brought it forth in the twilight, and I bare it upon my shoulder in their sight. Just the way it was going down. Verse 8, and in the morning came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, 9, son of man, Hath not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said unto thee, what doest thou? What are you up to? What is all this? What are you packing your bag for? What are you walking? Verse 10. Say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God, this burden concerneth the prince of Jerusalem and all the house of Israel that are among them. Now, what this has to do is it's going to happen to Zedekiah, and it's going to happen to those that are with him. Verse 11, say, this is what you say, say, I am your sign. Like as I have done, so shall it be done unto them. They shall remove and go into captivity. You're goners. You're going to go into captivity. Verse 12, and the prince that is among them shall bear upon his shoulder in the twilight, this is Zedekiah, and shall go forth. They shall dig through the wall to carry out thereby. He shall cover his face, that he shall see not the ground with his eyes. Why? They're going to be gouged out. Verse 13, my net also will I spread upon him. He's going to get caught. And he shall be taken in my snare. And I will bring him to Babylon. That's confusion. To the land of the Chaldeans. Yet shall he not see it, though he shall die there. You know why he's not going to see it? They're going to gouge his eyes out. What is the moral to that? You better open your eyes and see the truth. If you've got eyes that can see but you see not, then it's your fault. You should have seen. If you have, back in the beginning, it says, they have eyes to see but see not. In other words, he could have chosen to see the truth. But he chose quite the contrary, to not see the truth. Oh, they're going to gouge his eyes out. He won't have a chance then to see the truth. And they're going to kill him. That's the king of Judah. And we continue. Next verse, please. Verse 14. And I will scatter toward every wind, that's Ruach, spirit, all that are about him to help him, and all his bands, and I will draw out the sword after them. In other words, that's God himself saying, I'm going to see to it. 15, and they shall know that I am the Lord. That's when. Hey, have you read the word of God? That's how you know he's God. It always comes to pass the way it's written. When I shall scatter them among the nations and disperse them in the countries. What is the reason for that? 16, but I will leave a few men of them from the sword and from the famine and from the pestilence, that they may declare all their abominations among the heathen, whither they come, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Now, naturally, wait a minute. They, what is wrong with this scripture? Because they killed all of his sons. They killed all of Zedekiah's sons, the royal priesthood. Oh, no, they did not. You see, if you know your history, the daughters of Zedekiah were not murdered. As a matter of fact, the daughters of Zedekiah were taken by Jeremiah on a journey, and he took them to the new land. Jeremiah's name would be changed to Olamphala, but his servant Baruch would not change his name. But you find ancient ruins with the writings of Olamphala even to this day. It means a wise man. His name was Jeremiah. But then, what were those daughters' names? Well, one of them was named Skokta. Have you ever heard of Scotland? Do you know what those daughters formed up? Do you not know who the kings and queens are of the 10 tribes that went north? You see, God doesn't lose anything. It's only people that lose their own way. God has never lost anyone. And there little Skota was, what a woman. And she founded Scotland as the others would found and bring forth the rest of the 10 tribes. And what a fantastic thing. No, Zedekiah's daughters were that remnant of the priesthood that went,
well, wait just a minute, brother. You just, I mean, who ever heard of a woman priestess? Well, God's word does. They're called prophetess. And I don't know, when we had judges, you've never heard of Deborah? Where have you been? Verse 17. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, 18, son of man, eat thy bread with quaking, and drink thy water with trembling and with carefulness. There's very little food from God. When you come into this generation, there's very few that teach God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, which feeds the sheep of God's pasture. 19, and say unto the people of the land, thus saith the Lord God of the inhabitants, the what? The inhabitants of Jerusalem and of the land of Israel. They shall eat their bread with carefulness and drink their water with astonishment, that her land may be desolate from all that is therein, because of the violence of all them that dwell therein. And sooner or later, naturally, what is it that dwells therein that is such an abomination? Well, it's the Antichrist himself. And that's what this type is preparing you for, is the fact that that false one will come. Not if, not maybe, not perhaps. God's word declares it. A child can read it with understanding in Mark chapter 13, verse 20. And the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall be desolate, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Well, how would you know it was the Lord? Because it comes to pass as it's written. You might say, well, how can that city be desolate? Well, listen. What does God consider a city that is not desolate? It's one that has the word of God in it. It's a city that follows God's ordinances, statutes, and does them. I don't know how many cities do you know that are desolate today? And how many do you know that follow God's word to the letter and obey and do his commandments? And then tell me how many cities are not desolate today, including Jerusalem. 21. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, 22, son of man, what is that proverb that you have in the land of Israel, saying, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth? You don't have anything to worry about. Christ is not returning. This is going on forever and ever. The end is not going to happen. Nebuchadnezzar is not coming to take us captive. He's just over the hill. If you were to listen real close, you could hear the trumpet. He's coming. And I say to you, in this generation of the end times, the generation of the fig tree, you better listen to what's just over the hill. The false Messiah is coming. And you have been taught in God's word how to combat that. And so it is. So what is this proverb that you don't have to worry? You don't have to read the book of Revelation. Why, you're going to fly away like a big butterfly, and it'll all be well with you. There's just one problem. That's a lie. It's not biblical. All that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 declares is that if you believe Christ rose when he was crucified, then you better believe all those that sleep in him have already risen also. Not on the last day at the last trump. They're already out of here. They're gone. If you can read it all, that's what the subject is. And then at the last trump, that's the seventh one, when we all change into spiritual bodies, breath of life bodies, we will join them. That's all it's saying. And yet people have this proverb,
Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you what. Don't miss the next chapter, chapter 13, where God tells you, I am against those that teach the rapture doctrine. When God makes it that clear, well, does it say that exactly? No, it says, I'm against those that teach my children to fly to save their souls when Christ is the Savior. Can you blame him for being upset when false teachings runs rampant throughout the land? Desolation, abomination, and perversion reigns. And truth is so precious that little sanctuary of knowledge, of truth, that God makes available. Don't go into that proverb of lies that people bring forth. That's dangerous. Next verse 23. And it reads, tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease. It's going to end. And they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effort of the effect of every vision. It's all going to be fulfilled. The end is coming. So that proverb of, you're going to fly away, brother. Surely you wouldn't take some ratchet jaw's word for something like that. Like I said, the next chapter documents it. If you want to know what God says, do you have eyes to see and can see? Do you have ears to hear that can hear, or are they deaf? And I'm not speaking of a physical condition. I'm speaking of a spiritual affliction, one that sees not the truth of God's word. Verse 24, to continue. For there shall be no more any vain vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. No more false prophets. Thank God for that. No more fake preachers. Verse 25. For I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It always has. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. You can count on it. And when God says it, it's going to happen. Well, what has God said? Have you ever read the Bible? He lets you know exactly what's going down. Thessalonians chapter 2, the false Christ is going to stay in Jerusalem, sitting right there claiming to be God. Long before Christ returns at the second advent, but they have this parable saying, we're going to fly out of here. Yeah, and they're lying to you, aren't they? Do you know what that will cause you to do? Because Satan, when, as it is written in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, check out what the word says. Don't listen to man, this man or any other man. What does 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 4 say? Antichrist is going to sit, Satan himself, the king, vile person that goes the apostasy. The son of perdition is his name. That means the son that perishes. There's only one. And that's Satan. Has already been sentenced to perish, as it is written in Ezekiel 28, verse 19. Will perish. But he's going to sit there claiming to be God, and most of the world's going to whore after him because his message is, I've come to rapture you away. And if you want to believe the lie, God even states, if you continue reading on down to the ninth verse, I'll send you such strong illusion, you'll have to believe the lie if that's what you want instead of believing my word. God is not happy with those that like to counter him, go against him. That is to say, come in his so-called name, and yet God didn't send them. Verse 26. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, and here we have this warning, 27, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come. And he prophesieth of the times that are far off. We don't have to pay any attention to it. It's not going to pertain to us. 28. Therefore, say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. This is why you don't want to miss the next chapter. It is such a very important, it's a lifesaver. It can save your soul. It tells you who you should listen to and who you should not listen to. It tells you how to find salvation and how to lose salvation. It has to do with both prophets and prophetists. That is to say, both men and women that teach God's word. It has a message for them. You don't want to miss it, because thus saith the Lord God. And whatever your father says, believe me, that's exactly the way it is. So, when we look back at this chapter, there's a little sanctuary always. God promised it. He said it. It is so. And when you go into that little sanctuary, you're protected. God gives you knowledge and wisdom. He gives you the aids and helps that you need to help the children that are bewildered, that are lost, that need truth. And He helps that gathering together, so whereby God's election make that stand against that false king of Babylon. He's not a false king. He's the false one. And in standing against him, God's truth reigns supreme. We win. And that's what's precious about God's word. Don't miss that next lecture. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The epistles of John, three letters written by the Apostle John, that disciple whom Jesus loved. The tenderness of John's writings is marked by the number of times he begins the exhortations and warnings with, "My little children," or "little children." In fact, "little children" is written seven times in the first epistle alone. The contents of the first epistle are practical teaching in the light of the love of God. God is life, is light, is truth, is righteous, is love. And we have fellowship with him through the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. The tenderness and love of John's writing continues in the second epistle as he encourages the elect lady and her children to love one another. He also writes, "This is love, that we walk after his commandments." After these words of encouragement, John warns us that there are many deceivers entered into the world and explains how to identify these deceivers. Don't miss this opportunity to study the epistles of John with Pastor Arnold Murray.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. We do not judge people. God is the judge. Leave that to him. You have the right for spiritual discernment, who you should fellowship with, study with, and so forth. But don't judge people. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, always a pleasure hearing from you. Your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Again, always a pleasure. You got a prayer request? We can do away with the number and the address. Why? God knows what you're thinking right now. He does. He knows your heart. And He loves you. He may not love what you're doing, but He loves you. And He wants that love returned. When you return that love, He blesses you, makes His day. So don't forget to tell Him. Won't you do that? Hosea 6:6. I don't want your burnt offerings. I want your grace, your love. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father, touch in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Okay, and question time. We're going to go with Bonnie from California. If the Holy Spirit can go all over the world, can the devil's evil spirit do the same, if you allow it? You see, the Holy Spirit can go where he so chooses. Satan's spirit cannot if you order it out. Because as it is written in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, God gives us power over all of our enemies, including Satan, in Christ's name. So there are parameters and borders that Satan can't cross because Christ protects his own. There's that little sanctuary we were studying in today's lecture. Cora from Mississippi. When Jesus returns, where will he be, and what's the significance of Jerusalem? Well, you know something? You're going to find out the significance of Jerusalem when we get to the 16th chapter of this great book of Ezekiel. You see, in that 16th chapter, God makes an everlasting, unbreakable, undeniable covenant with that geographical location. It's his most favorite place, and not just the world, but the universe. It's where he intends to set his eternal temple, and he's going to do it. So that's the significance of Jerusalem. I could break the name down for you, Yerushalayim, but that will catch it. When he returns, where will he be? Well, it's written, his feet touched the Mount of Olives, Zechariah chapter 14, as well as the book of Revelation. Mount of Olives. Bobby from Texas, question. My pastor tells me that he was taught that the two people in the field, that the first one is taken by Christ. The one left behind is deceived by Satan. I understand your teaching to be the opposite. The first to be taken is deceived by Satan. Would you clear this difference for me by Scripture? So, for I love my pastor, and they are very good to me, and I just want to know what the Bible says. I need to know if there is more than one place in the Bible that can be cleared this up. Lots of places. And a child can read it with understanding. And I'm not correcting your pastor. He's wrong. All you have to do is pick up the subject of Mark 13. I mean, Christ could not be any more warning than a greater warning than he has, that don't let any man deceive you, for many will come in my name claiming to be a Christian preacher. But don't let them deceive you. For he said, before I return, you're going to be delivered up before the synagogue of Satan and witness, not premeditating what you will say, but speak what Christ gives you. And then he makes it very clear. He said, when they tell you he's out in the desert or he's here, don't believe it. As long as you're in a flesh body, the true Christ hasn't returned. The one that says he is a fake. So, in other words, then in Matthew chapter 24, when you read it, say all Christ is teaching is Satan comes first as the Antichrist. And the first taken in the field is taken by Satan. Now, you can get a better idea where he says in Matthew 24, it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. Well, what was going on in the days of Noah? The fallen angels were here. And they're going to be here again with Satan. For in Revelation 12:7, Michael kicks them out, both the fallen angels and Satan, as Antichrist. And they're going to be giving and taking in marriage again. Well, just what does that mean? That one taken in the field and is marrying Satan and his fallen angels and he's taken first? That's what the Bible says, and that's the way it is. Now, many are deceived in that because they take little shortcuts without picking up the subject, the object in the article. A child can read it with understanding. Read it all again. Read. I'm going to give you three places you ask for more than one. Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. There are still more. Steve from Tennessee. I just don't want to overload your donkey, okay? Steve from Tennessee. When we get to heaven, how old will we be, and will we know the ones who didn't make it, and will we be able to see them in hell and grieve for them? You're never going to, there's no tears in heaven. Why? Because God blots out. Do you know what blot out means? Draw you a little pencil mark and then blot it out, and where did it go? Well, it doesn't exist. You got it. God blots them out. They don't exist if they go into the consuming lake of fire. How old will we be? Spiritually, from day one, since God created our souls, they have not stopped existing. But a spiritual body always looks like a young person. Check your scripture. When the angels appeared at the tomb in which Christ was placed after the crucifixion, it always says a young man was there. So, why? Because a spiritual body doesn't age or wither or get old. So it always looks young. David from Iowa, what will happen to newborn babies when the Antichrist comes? They're innocent. God does not judge the innocent nor the handicapped. Okay. He's fair and equitable. That's one thing you can always count on our Heavenly Father. He doesn't take advantage of somebody in a weak point that is brought on because of illness, innocency, or something else. He always gives you the full truth right blowing up in front of you, whereby you make your own mind up before you are judged. Benny from California, do you have to be born again to have the Spirit? No, you don't. The word is not born again. I want you to take your Strong's Concordance. I want you to go to the third chapter of John where it says you must be born again. And I want you to take the word again and trace it, go back to the Greek manuscripts and your Strong's Concordance and see what that word is. And do you know what you'll find it is? It's from above. You must be born from above. You see, that was why we had the fallen angels. Napha in the Hebrew tongue. Fallen. Why? Because they refuse to be born from above. They travel from above and seduced woman. And that's a no-no in God's book. As you will read in Jude, why they're in chains to be destroyed is they left their habitation against God's orders and came to the earth, as you know in Genesis 6, and seduced the daughters of Adam, whereby Christ could not come forth with a clean genealogy pedigree. And God put a stop to it. He brought about the flood. Faye from Tennessee. People talk about me and accuse me of not going to church. I tell them I watch Shepherd's Chapel, and they tell me that's only entertainment and I need to be in church. What should I do? Well, you listen to tomorrow's broadcast, and it's never bad being entertained by the Word of God, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. That's some of the best entertainment in the world. But it just so happens that what happens when you're teaching chapter by chapter and verse by verse? You're in church. You're in church. We are a church. This broadcast is only an extension of that church, whereby you are in church, and people that have no church that teaches God's Word can hear the truth instead of going down where you got a bunch of ratchet jaws blowing hot air. And I'm not judging anybody and I'm not coming down on anybody, but truth is truth, and if the shoe fits, wear it. Okay? But you continue as you are. Wherever you're taught God's Word, that is church. Sandra from Florida. Please explain James 1:27 defining orphans and widows on two levels. Orphans, many times, if you are a student of God's Word and you know who true Israel is, the house of Israel and the house of Judah, then those that are not or are outside of that are orphans, spiritually speaking. And those that the widows are, you know, that one that should be wed to Christ, but unfortunately they hop out with Satan and sometimes are deteriorated into that. So look out for the orphans and the widows. How do you do that? By teaching God's Word. And on the next level, it's simply as it reads. Take care of God's children. Dana from West Virginia. How long do you think it will be before the Antichrist comes? I'm just looking for an educated guess. Well, we can only go by what God tells us. And he says that when you see learn the parable of the fig tree, and when you see the fig tree's shoot begin to put forth shoots, that was 1948, this generation will not pass away until all prophecy is fulfilled. Well, time marches on. We're getting close. Robert from Kentucky. Why did they call Jesus the son of David? Well, because he was. Off umbilical cord to umbilical cord. Have you ever heard of the key of David? You see, if you haven't, you've never read Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. One of the most well-equipped churches there ever has been is the Church of Philadelphia. That's brotherly love. That the Church of Philadelphia, they have the key of David that opens doors and no man can close it, and closes doors no man can open. Why? Because if you have that key of David, you know the difference between the true Christ and the fake Antichrist, and no one could ever confuse you. That's why it's important that you know it's the son of David, umbilical cord to umbilical cord, who is the true Christ. And make sure you don't hop in the sack with the false Christ here in the very near future. That's how you tell the difference. Evelyn from Iowa. Our son is telling us of a happening about mid-August. I've had this question before. The sun tsunami and a picture of the northern lights. It happened, okay? And it causes a great deal of problems with broadcasters and so forth with satellites. We have to be very careful. We're in that season of that tsunami from the sun. And not only the tsunami from the sun, it has just been discovered that from the planet Saturn, which is in the zodiac picture as far as Virgo is concerned, the Virgin, Saturn is there, that one of our satellites has picked up that there is an ice tsunami on Saturn, 800 feet a day. That's a lot of ice. But then it's Satan's planet, as we find in Hosea chapter 6, Amos chapter 6, verse 26. Cain is Saturn, Satan's planet. And certainly there's a lot of ice there. Now, he's cold. The Holy Spirit is warm. Vandora, I don't know where Vandora is from. I have been studying the Bible with you quite some time. I have grown in the Word. I enjoy your teaching. I am saved now, but God is still... My question is, my oldest brother has been living with me and owned me for almost 2 years. He is 57 years old. He doesn't have a job. He's lazy. He's not looking for a job. The bottom line is he don't want to work. I'm living on a fixed income. I pay all my bills. All he does is lay around, and if I ask him to do something around the house, he won't do that without grumbling. All he wants to do is get drunk every day. He don't respect me, my children, nor my grandchildren. Always using profane language. Would it be wrong if I ask him to find somewhere else to live? What's holding you up, darling? You know, it's 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Begin reading with verse 6. And in 10, if somebody won't work, don't feed them. It won't be long if you'll quit feeding them that they'll find a job. Why? Because God put a little micro switch between the navel and the backbone. And when you get hungry enough, you have this thing comes out and says, work, 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 money, money, food, food. Okay? Don't be taken advantage of. I wouldn't put up with that. I wouldn't put up with it 5 minutes. And you are not to treat him as an enemy, but you're to set him aside. Don't feed him. And you can pray for him, but it's time. He's 57. Barbara from Michigan, during the sixth seal, the sixth trump, how will Satan be deceiving the people? We won't believe him, but how will we recognize what he is preaching? Will he be teaching against the word of God? Of course he will. But what does he use? You know, why did he tempt Christ? So that you have an example of exactly what he's going to be saying to you. Well, what did he use? Well, Matthew chapter 4, you'll find he used Scripture. And do you know something? The sad truth? Most Christians are not intelligent enough or well-informed enough in the Word of God to know the Scriptures he was using, he was twisting them enough to make it a lie. They'd say, well, it's Scripture, we'll believe it. Even if it was Satan saying it. Well, it was Scripture. Yeah, but he twisted it. You have to go back to the original and see where he twisted it. You see, he'll lie to you. That's his game. He lies, steals, and kills. Spiritually speaking, you don't want that. You may think you won't believe him or the world won't believe him. They're geared for it. His message is, I've come to rapture you away. They're ready to get on his wagon. Mac from Kentucky. I have been told by preachers in this area of the country that anybody can pray to God for anything, but God will not hear their prayer unless they have been saved and baptized. In other words, they must be a member of a church. Does that mean that sinners cannot call upon the Lord God for help and his prayer be answered? Thank you very much for your service and help. Well, let's take an example. I'm trying to think real quick. Let's take the crucifixion. That we had two malefactors, and one was right there beside Christ. And he held up for Christ and put down the other, and was a believer. Now, let me see. Did he come down from the cross, and he was baptized, and he joined the church? Then he got back up on the cross. Because Jesus said, I tell you, this day I will see you in paradise. He overcame. He wasn't baptized. He didn't join a church. You might say, well, he joined Christ, and Christ is the church. And that's true enough. But then you don't need a building. You can join Christ anywhere, anytime. And when you love him, we have this one-upmanship. And you know, if a church teaches God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, and thus saith the Lord, you're so blessed in your community. But if they're going around just ratchet join and trying to get people to join so they have members that they can rain on and never get around to teaching God's word, maybe one verse and then blow hot air for a half hour or two, once a week, maybe. You know, this is why I like to be an everyday preacher, you know, teacher. Every day, you know, where you catch people pretty good that way. Just, you can get to be a habit with people, even not you, but the Word. And it's good to have a habit of the Word of God. I don't want to judge your pastors in that area, okay? Muriel from Iowa, my question to you is, did I know my earthly parents in the first earth age? Thank you for your teaching. May God bless you. I'm 84 years young. Well, that's great, Muriel. You know, if your parents were God's elect, you knew them. If your parents were not of God's elect, then that remnant, then probably you did not know them there. But that doesn't matter. That won't cut any slack anywhere. You will know them in the millennium. Because Ezekiel chapter 44, verses 20 through 25 document that if you have a mother, brother, sister, unmarried, or father that didn't quite make it, you can go over and help them. Let's get on their case. Straighten them out. And so it is. So you will know them there. But there is no guarantee that just because someone is one of God's elect that their parents were. But it's possible. Sally from Arizona, question, will we be seeing and hearing from your students, pastors, as they graduate from the Word to churches out here? Thank you. I think that the truth is like leaven in bread. It spreads. Truth, you cannot chain truth. You cannot keep truth. We're on 325 television stations and satellites around the world. And even in China, the truth spreads there like wildfire. It's we get more hits there than we do in most nations other than America and Canada. I'm not so sure that we don't have more in China than we do Canada. I'm not beside the point. The Word grows and nothing can chain it. Nothing can hold it back. Okay, I'm out of time. Hey, you know what? I love you. But it is the Word of God, not my word, or not Shepherd's Chapel's word, God's word. Out of time, I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word. Most of all, God loves you. He loves you because you enjoy reading the letter He sent to you. Makes His day. And when you make His day, boy, is He going to make yours. He loves you for that. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, you bless God. He will always bless you. But most of all, you stay in His Word every day. And His Word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, our Savior, the Lord, He is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word.